So apparently your phone's keyboard is quietly training an AI right now, and it never actually reads your text to do it. Stick with me because today we're diving into the weirdest tug of war in tech, the fight between making AI smarter and keeping your data private. Spoiler, nobody's fully winning that fight. Welcome to AI News Blend. I'm your host. Let's get into it. Alright, story number one. Let's talk about your keyboard. Every time it guesses your next word, sounds good, on my way, whatever. It feels a little like magic. AI for years. The way you train an AI to do that was by shipping everyone's typing data off to some central server. Millions of people's private messages sitting in one big pile waiting to make the model smarter. Google looked at that and went, yeah, maybe not. So they built something called federated learning. Instead of your data traveling to the AI travels to your data. Your phone trains a tiny sliver of the model right there locally using your actual typing. Then it only sends back the math, the pattern, the update, not your text. Apple does something similar with a technique called differential privacy, where they add statistical noise into the data on purpose. So specific enough that no single person's information can ever be pulled back out of the pile. Here's where it gets interesting. This isn't a side project, it's an entire architecture built around one uncomfortable truth. More data usually makes AI smarter, but every extra data point is also one more way to expose somebody's private life. And honestly, I think this is the quiet revolution nobody's covering enough. We spend all day talking about how big these models are getting. Nobody's throwing a parade for the plumbing underneath, the stuff that keeps that growth from turning into a privacy nightmare. Takeaway, sometimes the smartest move in AI right now isn't a bigger model, it's a smaller footprint, but here's the thing, while everyone's busy cheering for privacy-first design, something messier is happening quietly in the background. See, to catch an AI system being biased, say rejecting loan applications more often for one racial group, or ranking resumes unfairly by gender, you actually need to know people's race or gender or age. You need the sensitive stuff. That's the only way to run the numbers and prove discrimination is actually happening. And if you're thinking, wait, isn't collecting less sensitive data supposed to be the whole point? Yeah, it is. That's exactly the paradox. Privacy rules done properly say collect less, especially less protected class data. AI fairness testing says we need precisely that data or we can't prove you're being unfair. So companies land in this bizarre spot where the very thing protecting your privacy can also let discrimination hide in plain sight because nobody is allowed to go check. Regulators have actually built entire frameworks just to navigate this mess. The UK's Information Commissioner's Office has a process for it: identify the trade-off, test technical fixes, decide who's accountable for the call, explain it to the people affected, then go back and review it later. Which honestly sounds less like a tech policy and more like couples therapy for privacy and fairness. Takeaway, there's no clean answer here. There's just more honest and less honest ways of admitting the trade-off exists. Quick hits before we go. Homomorphic encryption, fancy term for do math on data without ever unlocking it, is quietly becoming a real enterprise tool instead of just an academic party trick. AI, synthetic data, fake but realistic data generated by one AI to train another, is getting popular fast. But researchers keep pointing out it's only as good as how well it mirrors reality. Garbage in, garbage out still applies. And somewhere on a security forum, someone pointed out that AI models can basically be interrogated through something called a model inversion attack, where the right sequence of questions can trick a model into leaking fragments of the exact data it was trained on, which is exactly as unsettling as it sounds. So here's the big picture. We keep framing this as AI versus privacy, like it's a boxing match with a winner and a loser. It's not, it's an architecture problem. And the companies actually getting this right aren't the ones hoarding the most data. They're the ones who decided on day one, before writing a single line of code, exactly how much they needed, and treated everything beyond that as a liability, not an asset. So, next time some app asks for just a little more data to improve your experience, maybe ask yourself what a smaller, smarter version of that request would even look like. AI, because in AI, apparently, less isn't just safer. Sometimes it's just better design. That's your blend for today. I'll see you tomorrow.